For scripture reading today, if you turn to John chapter 10, we'll be reading verses 1 through 18. John chapter 10. Oh, it's on, if you're using a Bible from the chair in front of you, it's page 896. John chapter 10, 1 through 18. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father."
Well, I hope you had a good week. Some
of you are maybe disappointed that there isn't more white stuff out on the ground. Some of you, like me, are pretty happy. Actually, I learned that you just have to be content with whatever the Lord gives us, but... I am thankful for the beauty of snow, but I'm thankful also that we only get 3 months of that beauty, and God has given us plenty of other beauty to look at. Well, if you can open up your Bibles to John chapter 10, as we look at this section, one of the things that we need to recognize about this section is that it's part of a much larger section in John. I don't know if you know this or not, but when they wrote these books of the Bible out, they didn't write them with verses or chapters. That was put in much later, and it was put in to help us. But sometimes, if you don't see the context here, you can miss something. And so this is part of a larger section going all the way back to probably chapter 7 and 8. Jesus is in Jerusalem. The time of the year is actually, it's the Feast of Dedication, and the time of the year is right about now. It's, kind of the end of November, the beginning of December, the Jewish calendar was based on the moon, so it's hard depending upon when Jesus was born. But it was the Feast of Dedication. Jesus had gone into the temple, and he had made a very bold claim. He made a claim and drew all attention to himself. He said that the only way a person that will find the deep longings of their heart satisfied is through an intimate relationship with him. And apart from that, doing that, their lives will seem empty. That set off the religious leaders. They did not like that. Then again in chapter 8, that was chapter 7 and chapter 8, Jesus again spoke in some terms that that if you or I had said that, it would definitely be very proudful. He just says that he was the light of the world. In other words, Jesus was saying that if you take me out of the picture of what's going on in the universe, if you try to understand life apart from me, it won't make any sense. Life will be nothing but a big rat race, you know, one of those gerbil type things that wheels that runs round and round and never gets anywhere. And so the fact that Jesus spoke in such very bold terms and claims, he really offended the Jewish religious leaders. And his claims offend people today. I mean, you think of his claim in Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus makes a claim to our affections, where he says, if you do not love anyone who loves Father more than me is not worthy of me. I mean, that's a claim that is offensive to people today. Jesus' claim that on Matthew 4, where he says, repent. That's an offensive claim today to people. And, you know, so it is offensive claim. And in John chapter 9, Jesus heals a man who is born blind, and instead of the religious leaders who had never, ever seen a man who was born blind healed, instead of seeing that miracle and recognizing, oh, God is doing something great here, instead of seeing that miracle, pun intended, they harden their hearts towards Jesus, and even more so were they against him. And so when we come to this chapter, Jesus is contrasting himself when he makes this claim of being the good shepherd with the religious leaders, who he is calling them the bad shepherds, shall we say, the wicked and evil. And so one of the things that we are doing during our Advent time this year is we are trying to look at different names of who Jesus is. And the reason why we're looking at these different names is because each one of these names about Jesus tells us something unique about him. And that uniqueness, the Bible reveals it, gives Jesus this name to minister to us. And so each one of these names will minister to us in a very different way to us. And so here in John chapter 10, in verse 6, John tells us that Jesus uses this figure of speech called the Good Shepherd. And I want us to look at this figure of speech, and I think there's three things that we can learn about Jesus from this. And so if you have your outlines with you, you could see that I labeled those three things concerning Jesus, the Good Shepherd, that he knows and cares for his sheep, that he lays down his life for his sheep, and that he is on a mission with his sheep. First of all, then, he knows and cares for his sheep. In verse 3, if you remember, Scott read the fact that in verse 3 it says that he actually knows his sheep and he calls them by name. He calls his sheep by name. Now we're talking millions upon millions of sheep. And Jesus knows every one of their names. And he calls them all by name. Now I remember at one of my churches that I was at, you know, we had a farmer there, and he was a dairy farmer, and he milked about 115 to 150 cows, somewhere depending upon 125, I think it was. And they named all of their cattle, and they named all their calves, and you know, and I remember looking at these things, and it was like, you know, yeah, I could tell that there were some different markings and things like that, but they all looked kind of the same. And a shepherd knew the sheep. To me, I'd say they all look the same. And Jesus says that as a good shepherd, he knows his sheep. And he's talking about us. He knows the sheep. And the fact that he uses this term here, he's talking about the fact that Jesus wants to have an intimate relationship with all of us. Scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 10 that God has all the hairs on our head counted. That's an amazing statement. So for all of his sheep, he knows how many hairs on our head. Now for some of us, it's easier to count than for others. But he knows it all. In Matthew 6, when Jesus spoke about not worrying, he commanded his followers not to worry. He gave the command not to worry based on the fact that he knew their needs. And he cared for their needs. And he was going to minister to their needs. I think of holiday times especially can be a very lonely time for some people. It can be a very lonely time for some people because maybe it's the death of a loved one, or maybe there's a broken relationship. I remember for myself, when I moved to Sweden, when I was single and I was sick, a few days before Christmas, all the students were gone, and I was all alone, and it was a very, very difficult time. I felt very, very much alone. And the Bible says that Jesus is our great high priest. And in Hebrews, it tells us that because we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, it says, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And then it goes on to say, let us then, therefore, draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is that good shepherd who has promised us in Hebrews 13:5 that he was never going to leave us and never going to forsake us. And one of the ways that he cares for us and he ministers to us is obviously through his word. Romans 15:4 says, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might receive hope. Through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Do you ever get discouraged? Do you ever need help? Jesus, your good shepherd, our good shepherd, wants us to have hope. So he's given us his word so that we might have hope. Psalm 19, verse 7 says that the law of the Lord is perfect. It is restoring the soul. You know, that soul, our soul is that innermost part of who we are. And the law of the Lord is perfect. It restores our soul. Psalm 119, the psalmist says, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. And so Jesus, as our good shepherd, he wants to minister to us, and he wants to minister to us through his word. And some of us, sometimes we say, well, I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have any interest in reading the Bible. I'd say, don't you need care? Don't you need hope? Don't you need joy? Jesus wants to care for you, and his word gives life. It gives us hope. It brings joy to us. And so if we want to receive his care in our life, one of the chief ways, it's not the only way, but one of the chief ways he's going to minister to us care is through his word. And I just encourage you, if you're going through a difficult time right now, take time, read through the Psalms. As you read through the Psalms, you'll see that the psalmist, there was many times where the psalmist was hugely discouraged. And as he reads through the Psalms, you'll see this. He's having a dialogue with himself. And you'll see this as you read through. And he's talking to himself, and he's telling himself, don't listen to myself. Listen to God's word. And what does God's word say about it? And so I just encourage you to do that. Well, number two, he lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, yes, it is true that Jesus was crucified by the Romans, and it is true that the religious leaders brought Jesus to the Romans to be crucified. But Jesus makes it very clear that at any time he could have stopped it. And he could have, he said that he could have called for angels and it would have stopped it at the time. But Jesus laid down his life, and he laid down his life to save us. Jesus lays down his life to save his sheep from the very things that were killing his sheep, which is sin. And the Bible is clear that all of us have gone astray. We're all wrapped up and bound in our sin. And the Bible is very clear that God took that sin and cast it onto Jesus. And God poured out his wrath that we deserved. And he poured it out on Jesus so that God could turn around and look at us and declare us to be righteous, to be justified, so that we could have peace with God. And so Romans 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because Christ took our condemnation upon himself. Those people who recognized that they had no other hope except to put their faith and trust in Jesus and what he did on the cross. God says to, therefore, if you've done that, I have nothing to condemn you for, because I condemned my son for it all, and I gave you his perfect life as a record for you. So Galatians tells us that because of this change in our relationship, that we've been redeemed, and we've been adopted as God's sons, we can now cry out, Abba, Father. And that term, Abba, Father, was an intimate term that a child would call out to his dad. And so that's that relationship that we have today. And so if you're sitting here this morning and there's a part of you that's kind of like, I'm going to hold God out here at a distance, because if I get too close to him, he's going to hurt me. He's going to lash at me. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I took the lashes that you deserve. I took them on the cross. And if you recognize that I am your good shepherd, then I offer to you no condemnation. God declares to us that we are justified, that we are righteous, that we are holy in his sight. And so as a result, he wants to pour out his love and comfort to us. And one day, we'll spend eternity with him. Well, finally, he is on a mission with the sheep. Number three, he is on a mission with his sheep. Jesus says in verse 16, he says, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so they will be one flock and one shepherd." What is Jesus talking about here when he says that I have other sheep that are not of this fold? Who are these sheep that he's talking about? Well, Jesus is obviously, he's talking to the Jewish people, so they're already in the fold, should we say? So he's referring to the church. He's referring to what's going to take place on Pentecost, and through the ministry of the apostles. He's talking about the people that will become, that he will be drawing to himself throughout the church ages. He's talking about those of in the people in this room who have recognized that Jesus is their good shepherd. He's talking about all of us. Jesus gave this same assurance to the Apostle Paul about the fact that he was on a mission and that he was going to be doing it. In Acts chapter 18, Paul was in the city of Corinth and he was working there. He was trying to reason with the Jews and the Greeks, trying to persuade them that Jesus was the Messiah. And he was obviously having some difficulties doing that. And he for some reason, he was having a time of fearfulness. And so Christ appeared to him in a vision and said to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 18, says, "Paul, do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people." And Paul stayed there a year and a half as a result. And we know what happened after a year and a half. There was a church born, church in Corinth. And we have the letters of 1 and 2 Corinthians as a result. Jesus told Paul, "You continue on with your mission because I'm on a mission. I have sheep in Corinth that I have to bring into my fold, and no one is going to stop you from doing that." And so in John chapter 10, these are some of the sheep that he's referring to. And as I said, we are some of those sheep, and Jesus is still in the midst of gathering sheep. There are sheep in Northfield that he wants to gather. And there are some of you he will use other places because there are sheep that he wants to get. Obviously, Jesus is talking about God's electing love that he has for us as believers. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, he says that God chose us in him, Christ, before the foundation of the world. Revelation chapter 13, 8 talks about names being written in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. And so, you are here today. If you have a trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are here because of God's electing love that he has for you, and you are here today because God is on a mission and he has used someone else to gather you into his fold. For myself, I have no idea who the man was, but it was a man who worked at Camp Chaminade. And I will have to wait till heaven to find out who he was. But I'm very thankful that God used that man to tell an 11-year-old boy that he was a sinner and that he needed a Savior. Jesus is wanting these religious leaders to know this. You see, Jesus God had said to Abraham that he was going to use Abraham to be a blessing to all the nations. And the Jews had, instead of seeking to proclaim the good news about God to the Gentiles, they actually looked down upon the Gentiles. The Jews like to call the refer to the Gentiles as dogs, and dogs were not men's best friends back then. Dogs were scavengers, and so this was a derogatory thing. And it was even a good Jew in his prayer might even thank God that he wasn't a Gentile. And so the Jews had totally missed, the religious leaders had totally missed what God's purpose was for them. Psalm 67:7 says, God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear him. And that is still true today. God blesses us so that the ends of the earth may come to know him. Revelation chapter 7 tells us John saw a vision of heaven, and he saw a vision around the throne, and what was gathered around the throne was myriads and myriads of people, and it was people that were coming from every tribe and every tongue, and it was a multitude that no one could gather. They were there for a big worship service, and so God is in the process of, God is on a mission. Jesus is on a mission. He's building his church. He's gathering sheep into his fold. And if we are going to follow him, we are going to be on a mission also. If we are listening to his voice, that will mean that we will be sensitive to the sheep around us. If we decide not to be on a mission with him, and we harden our hearts to him, we will overlook the sheep around us that he is in the process of wanting to reach. I think as we look at the world today, we could see that God is doing something very great and very exciting. We don't know what all. Yes, Satan is certainly out there shaking things up and urging people to destroy, and that's what he does. But God is going to turn that around and use that for good, to bring sheep into his fold. And you think of the many Muslims. I remember having a conversation with a Muslim girl, that lady that we're praying for as a family. She grew up in a Muslim family, and it was just she was just Muslim just by the fact that she grew up in a culture that is Muslim. Otherwise, she has no interest in Muslim. But I remember her saying that she doesn't like what's going on in her religion. And so God is in the process of shaking up so that that he can bring in many more sheep into his fold. And the fact that Jesus says that I have many sheep, and I must bring them in, and they will listen to my voice. That should give us encouragement. That should give us encouragement. Jesus said to Paul, I have many people in this city. Don't be afraid. Paul's obviously afraid. He needed that assurance. This is an assurance verse to us, that Jesus has many sheep, and he's in the process of gathering them, and we don't need to be afraid, because his sheep will listen to his voice. And so, as Paul said in Colossians chapter 4, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in a time of thanksgiving, and he said, pray for an opening, that God may open a door to share the word and to declare Christ. And so that is something that we can be praying, that God would open doors and he would provide opportunities. And the same intensity here that Jesus spoke about here, that he is on a mission to bring sheep in, we hear that same intensity when Jesus gave the Great Commission to us. He said, you know, go make disciples. I have all authority, and I will be with you until the end of the age. And as Christians, if we are going to want to enjoy the blessing of it, of him being with us, but we're going to say no to his being on a mission, then we need to recognize that we are hardening our hearts to him. And so Jesus wants us to do that. Well, I think there I think there's a couple of things that we can do concerning this, recognizing the fact that God has called us to be on a mission, and it's his mission of bringing sheep into his fold. I think the first thing that we can do is we can pray. It's the most important thing that we can do. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So we can pray. I don't know if it's a neighbor, a coworker, a classmate. Begin to pray. Begin to pray that God would reveal himself to that person in your life. And pray that God would provide opportunities for you to be able to share with him. And so that's one way that we can be involved with a mission with him. I think another thing that we can do is just getting involved with mission opportunities that are already here. Being a Sunday school teacher, do you recognize that there are children that may not know Jesus? But as you teach them about Jesus, you can be involved in bringing those sheep into his fold. As a church, we're going to be starting a ministry called Rethink Mercy, where we are actually going to be given, we're going to be building relationships with people through acts of mercy. And there's an organization that will give us free a 20-pound box of food if we are willing to go and give it to somebody who has a need. And as we go and we give them the food, they might not like our God at first, but they will, because they have a need, they will welcome our food. And that giving of that food gives them an opportunity, gives us an opportunity to build a relationship with them, which then can tell them about Jesus. Because we know the evil one has blinded their eyes so they can't see the glory of Christ. Another thing is getting involved with, say, families. Many of you know Joy over here. Safe Families is a Christian organization, and it's ministering to people who are needy, and they have a desperate need. And there's two ways of doing it. One can come alongside and be a coach to the family, and another can be an opportunity to minister to the children. And when those children are in your home, you can tell them about Jesus as you tell your children about. And you can be involved in bringing sheep. Jesus wants to use all of us to be bringing sheep into his fold. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are, thank you for your love. Thank you that you sent your son Jesus, who is our good shepherd, who knows everything about us. He knows us intimately, and he cares about us. And he not only cares about us, but he's demonstrated his love for us by laying down his life for us. But he is also on a mission, and he's on a mission to bring his sheep into his fold. Father, I pray that you would use us more and more in that mission. Give us sensitive eyes and sensitive ears to know where you are at work around us, so that you would receive glory and that many sheep would come into your fold. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.